Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to start the show today by talking about removing the fear of auto repair and maintenance from your list of fears. Oh, man. Patrice Banks, our guest. She is the founder of Girls Auto Clinic. After working for 12 years as an engineer, she went back to school for auto repair, began leading car care workshops. Now she runs an auto repair shop salon outside Philadelphia, staffed by female mechanics. And her book, her new book, is called The Girls Auto Clinic Glove Box Guide. What about you? Do you have an intimidation factor when it comes to things mechanical? How do you feel about going to an all-woman repair shop? What car care repair questions might you have? Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Patrice Banks with us by phone. Patrice, hi. Thank you for taking time to be with us.
Hi. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. And I tell you what, I really enjoyed your book. I have not read every single part of it, but it would be a handy one to have on hand for a whole variety of things. And before we talk about that, I think your introduction when you talked about how you used to feel about auto maintenance and how that changed is an interesting one. So tell us about that.
Well, thank you very much for the compliment on the book. And yeah, I was your ordinary kind of female customer in the automotive industry. I hated all of my experiences. I always felt like I was being taken advantage of, right, and that I needed a guy to help me. It wasn't a very empowering situation as a woman. And I just kind of accepted it as my fate, right? This is what it is kind of for women in the industry. Everybody knows we get taken advantage of, right? But I started to question that and wondering why I felt this way and why I wasn't good at taking care of my car. And it kind of led me to want to go back to school and learn. I realized there was millions of other women out there like me. There was not resources or services that really catered to women to helping them better their automotive experiences. So I thought, hey, this is an incredible opportunity to help people to create something that's going to be really useful. And that's when I decided to go back to school and learn auto repair and create this company that was going to educate and empower women through their cars.
It's a great story. And once you graduated, you found some work with a guy who was mm-hmm. involved in, had his own shop, and mm-hmm. that helped a lot too, I would guess.
Yeah, so I knew that I was coming into this new. I didn't have years of experience. My father didn't grow up in the automotive industry, and that I needed to be working with an expert to learn about the ins and outs of auto repair, how to run a business, and I started working for free. I wanted to learn. I didn't, have much skills, and I was offering my engineering and business development skills, on the other hand, to any business that would take me in as an apprentice. And I started working for a place. I was actually turned down by like four places or three places. And then the fourth place said yes, and it was a guy named Edwin. And he has a shop called Guy's Auto Clinic. It was named after his father, Guy. Mm-hmm. And I started working there for free for about a year. And ironically, that's where we got the name Girls Auto Clinic. While I was working there and learning, I was developing, my businesses. I was starting to put together car care workshops. As soon as I was learning about cars, I couldn't wait to share it with women and teach and have workshops, and I was learning at the same time working at a repair center. So.
And you didn't have any trouble at all filling those workshops.
It's ironic. They in the beginning, they were only two or three people coming. They weren't really filling up. I was offering them for free because I believe education is very important and everyone should have access to it. And people were telling me to charge. You have to put some type of money on it to make it valuable. People would sign up, say they would come, and then only two or three people showed up. But I didn't care because it was to teach women. The car workshops are very interactive, so you learn on your own car, and the people that came were getting some great information. But then as we started picking up press and people started talking about how great these workshops were, and I started talking more about, I want to open a shop that has female mechanics and a nail salon, the word started getting out, and more people started showing up, and now they're extremely hard to get into our workshops. We offer them once a month here in Upper Darby, where our shop is. And it fills up. They're still free, and it fills up like within an hour or so when we post the link to RSVP to come. So, yeah, so they're very popular now, and I'm getting requests to do them all across the country. It was one of the reasons I wrote the book, was to allow people to get some of this information from the workshop in their hands if they weren't in the Philadelphia area.
Yeah, and in fact, a lot of it comes from the handouts. A lot of your book comes from the handouts mm-hmm. that you gave to people who came to the workshops.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't intending to write a book. I just wanted to teach, and the information was so good. Women were saying, I wish we had something to take home with us so we could put it in our glove boxes and reference it. And I said, okay, I will write something up, everything that we talk about, and kind of highlight and outline it. And essentially, as I was doing that, I was really writing a book, and I didn't realize it. And so I would print it out and send it home with them, and they loved it. And someone recommended to me, like, this might be a great book idea. So actually, I self-published a version first before this one came out, and that's how Touchstone Books found me. My publisher was, I self-published it and was getting some press about the self-published book. And so they said, we think this is fabulous. We would love to really make this. At then, it was kind of like a pamphlet. It wasn't a real book.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we would love to make this into a real book. And I said, okay, let's do it. And you know, I'm so glad, because it's just really been well received. Like you said, people are loving the information. They find it really useful. You're supposed to keep it in your glove box, right? It's not a cover-to-cover read. You can use it to reference if you need. Get it dirty, right? Get your hands dirty. And it's supposed to be teach you confidence and not to be intimidated, and that it's not hard. This is stuff that you can get, you should know, right, and you deserve to know, and how we can change not just what we know about cars, but our psychology about our cars really has to change first, and what we think about the mechanic and that whole experience. And that's something that I've learned going from an auto airhead to a chicanic.
Well, your writing, I have to say, your writing style is very inviting. You're a good writer. And you write in a fashion and with great diagrams and photos that really make what you're describing very understandable. And
yeah,
I have to tell you, I'm a guy, but I did a little work on older cars back when I was younger, but I don't do a whole lot and I don't know a whole lot. So I'm learning as I look through the book as well.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and that was really the whole point, because when I went back to school and I was learning about the basics of cars and how they work and how to maintain them, I was thinking to myself, this is not rocket science, right? Someone's just not really explaining it in a way that it's relatable and that people get why it's important. We kind of bog them down with all these technical terms and all of this stuff on complex cars, and it's intimidating and we get scared. And even as an engineer, I thought to myself, I'm not going to get this stuff. You know, it's like we kind of feed into these stereotypes that we're not going to get it. It's not that hard when you need to know certain basics of how to take care of your car that's going to empower you to be a confident driver and make the right choice with your car when you're talking to a mechanic or whether you're buying a car. And that was really the purpose of it. We're not trying to make you automotive experts over here. Right? We're trying to empower you to make the right choice so you feel good about your car and all the experiences that you have.
Let's go back to the girls' auto clinic for a minute.
Yeah.
Talk about that. I'm excited. I was excited to read about it. Tell about when, you know, you're opening and what's different about your shop.
Yeah. So, you know, as I was out here educating women, teaching them how to maintain their cars, how to talk to mechanics, you know, what to do in an emergency, I always wanted to have my own shop and hire female mechanics. I believe that the reason so many women feel at a disadvantage when we take our cars in or feel mistreated is because there aren't women that work in this industry. And what I learned is that women are the number one customer of the automotive industry. We spend $200 billion a year buying and repairing our cars, right? And there's now more women drivers in the for the automotive industry than men across all age groups. And so, you know, the future is female, and yet we have so few women working in this automotive industry. And so I also kind of made it a goal of mine to change the face of the industry by including more women and providing them opportunities to work on cars or to sell cars or to be engineers and to represent this is what a woman who works in this industry looks like. And so I thought, hey, I'm going to open a service repair center where, you know, I hate taking my car in for oil changes, but I'm going to hire women. And I know there's women out there that want to work on cars, right? And I know that women want better services when they bring their cars in. So I thought I could kind of solve this problem, helping women with their experiences by hiring women to work in the industry. And so I have 5 female mechanics right now, or female technicians that work here. And I also have a nail salon, Clutch Beauty Bar, to get your nails and your hair done while you wait for your car. And I added that as like a special touch because, you know, everybody hates taking their car in for a repair. I mean, it's a chore, if we're honest. Not something we look forward to, especially women, right? Just because of our bad experiences. But now they're like, I can get my nails done while I wait for my car. I'm there. I'm coming. And we get women come from all over just to, you know, experience it, to see women working on cars, to get their nails done. They bring their children, boys and girls, so they can say, hey, this is what a female mechanic looks like.
I think it's great. It kind of goes back to like early on in the book where you talk about before you had gone through your training and learned all this, you had posted something about, oh, I'm going to get my nails done instead of getting my oil changed.
Yes, I was, that's why I called myself an auto airhead. And I used to do that. I would go, I wrote that status, and I did. I remember going to get my nails done, and the guys were saying, this is why your car is going to blow up and women shouldn't drive. And the girls were commenting on my status, like, she'll look cute thumbing it for a nail, thumbing it for a ride. And this is kind of like, how women and men think about cars. Women don't know what they're doing, and girls are like, oh, we just be cute, thumb for a ride, somebody will help you. And it was funny, and I was being sarcastic at the time, but in order to solve that problem, what I used to do when I'd get my oil changed at lunch, I'd go to a specific Jiffy Lube because there was a nail salon next to it. I'd drop it off, and I'd go get my nails done. And so before I even had this idea, I was kind of thinking, like, oh, this would be something that I should do. And 2 years later was when I started this, when I decided to open a shop with a repair center. So I wasn't even thinking that at the time or thought that my life would turn out to be this business owner that's trying to, change the face of an industry.
It's a really cool story. Daniel on Facebook, Daniel posted that he grew up working on vehicles because he had to and disliked laying on the ground, working with inadequate tools. Because of that, he now leaves the work to the pros. His mechanic is a good friend, has 40-plus years experience. He says that his own time is valuable, and he's feeling like he's saving money by getting the maintenance done quickly and correctly on a regular schedule. This way he's able to drive an older vehicle in good condition without worry. This spares him a large monthly car payment and high insurance rates as well.
Yeah. And he sounds like a very smart driver.
Yeah, he does. And your book, and just to kind of go along with that, your book is not about turning all of us into mechanics, but to understand how our cars work and what we need to look for and a few things that we can do on our own.
Yeah. Like, the book is to teach you, first of all, what you need to know about your car and how it works. You have to know some certain bases to talk to a mechanic and to know that you're not being taken advantage of. And that starts with educating you. But that's where it gets intimidating because people think they're not going to understand it because cars are really complex. And so one of the things I do really great in the book is break it down on what's the most important stuff you need to know, like your maintenance schedule. That's one of the top 5 things you need to know about your car. When to get your oil changed. He was talking about how it's important to do the regularly scheduled maintenance. And the most important thing that you can do for your car is to get your oil changed when it's due. And I stress that many, many times. This is the most important thing you can do, right? And I also, like he said, I don't want to do the work. I want to have my mechanic do it. And I have a whole section in the book about finding your PCT, your primary care technician. I have a PCP, right, a primary care physician that I go to for all of my needs for my body and sickness and health. Why do I shop around to different mechanics? It's one of the biggest mistakes we make as drivers is we shop hop. And we cheat on our cars. We cheat on our cars, right, with different mechanics. And this is why we have these problems. We're more likely to get taken advantage of. All mechanics aren't created equal. Some of them are going to mess the car up because they don't know what they're doing. And it leads to all of this anxiety. 85% of our anxiety would disappear with our cars if we had our PCT, our primary care technician, and you took your car to them for everything that you need. Because they're going to take care of you, and they're going to make sure your car, they know its history. They're going to make sure they know your face. And they're also going to be the type of person that says, listen, they're not going to shock you with all of these prices every time you come in. They're going to say, you're going to need tires in a couple of months. Save up for it. Or your brakes are looking low. You'll need them before winter. Things like that. Establish a relationship with your mechanic so you trust them like you do your doctor. It's very important. And that part, that's like the biggest step, really, with car repair, because that's going to relieve all of your anxiety to know you can just make a call and your PCT's got you.
Yeah.
You know, that feels good.
And they learn your car, too. They know your car.
Yeah.
And they know your car.
They know your driving habits, right? They know if you beat up a car, because we don't think about how we beat up our cars, right? And what we do to make it worse. It's not always the mechanic. Sometimes it's you, you know?
Oh, man. Patrice Banks, our guest today. She is the author of Girls Auto Clinic Glove Box Guide and is the owner of the Girls Auto Clinic. A really great book, and it's fun talking with her today. And I'll give you a chance now to join in, too. Questions or comments or maybe experiences to share, I hope you'll join us. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. I'm Larry Mueller, Jill Nadeau, our producer, here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today. Larry Mueller here, talking today with Patrice Banks, the author of Girls Auto Clinic Glove Box Guide. Join in with your own questions, comments, experiences at 800-642-1234. We'd love to hear from you. And you know what, Patrice, callers online, so let's take a few calls here. Brian, first in Madison. Brian, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry, how are you?
Great, appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, Patrice, if you're lucky enough to live here in Madison, a friend of mine by the name of Nan has been for a long time. She owns her own garage, and she has female techs here in Madison.
Awesome. What's the name of the shop?
It's called Duchess.
Duchess? Oh, yes. I'm always looking to find other females that are having the same core values, saying, I want to work in this industry, I want to own a shop, let's hire women, and how we can connect and support each other, because there is kind of this lack of support for women that want to work in this industry, where if you don't fit in, you're kind of out, you're looking for mentors. You do face a lot of, you know, discrimination because we're women. And so I love hearing about finding these ladies. I was looking for so long for a female mechanic. I didn't even want to become one, actually. I became one because I struggled to find one in my area. So, yes.
Yeah, in fact, she does the whole thing where she does classes, too.
Oh, she does?
Yes, great. Good for her.
You should, Patrice, you should get a national organization going of women mechanics. Or maybe there is one.
Yeah. You know, and that's one of my goals with this is not just to, you know, help women drivers, but how we can support women who want to work in this industry, because that's really how we're going to change it. That's really how we're going to change women's experiences. You know, what's bigger than female empowerment right now? And we need to make these places like Dutch's Garage right visible and let people know they're out there. You know, I'm getting a lot of press right now because of the book and everything I have going on, and I'm getting requests. What, you know, can you help me in New Jersey, or can you help me in Atlanta? And so I love being able to connect women with other shops that have these same core values. It's very important.
And it sounds like your shop, your own shop, is doing quite well. Plenty of customers and so forth.
Yes. You know, one of the things that really helped me to get customers when I first opened was doing those car care workshops. I was doing them for 2 years every single month before I opened, and it was kind of my cost to get a customer, saying, hey, I'm going to open a shop. When we're ready to open, bring your car to us. We're here to educate you, to make you feel good. And so when we first opened a year ago is when I opened the shop, we already had 500-600 customers, and it's just been rocking since then. Everyone hearing about us, wanting to come, wanting to see the salon. And we can't keep up. I have 5 techs. You know, I started out with 3. Now I have 5. I'm getting ready to hire another one. And it's been 1 year. So I've been blessed that it's great. It's well received. My female techs do really well. We have a Midas right next to across the street from us. And people think there's always going to be like competition or they'll feel horrible. But they love that we're there. They're like excited that there's finally girls around, number one. But we understand that there's room for everyone. You know, we play jokes on them and pranks, and we have a good time. We share information. We help each other out if we need help, you know. And so it is, you know, something that I feel is really good to help kind of empower these girls and to change what people think a woman is capable of doing.
And are they, do they get the same, or did they get the same kind of training that you got, or something similar at least?
So since I'm a smart person, well, I consider myself, I made sure that I hired people who were smarter than me. So all of my techs know more about cars than I do. They've worked in the industry longer than I have. My goal wasn't to be like the automotive expert and to be turning wrenches. It was kind of to create this company that was going to empower people who wanted to do that. And so I went through training and I worked for a couple of years, but now I kind of work on the business. And all of these girls that I've hired right now, I tell people, none of them were working on cars when I found them. Actually, I didn't even need to find them. They found me. I just was saying, I'm going to open a shop. I need female mechanics. And they would hear about me on TV, or they would hear about a workshop, word of mouth, somebody would say it. And they'd show up and call me or send me an email and say, I want to work on cars. I've always had this dream. I've had these problems being a woman in the industry. I'm not working on cars right now, but I believe in your vision. I want to work for you. And they're incredible. They're rocking it. I'm like, who passed up on this opportunity, right? Are amazing, and I'm just so glad to be able to give them this opportunity and for them to be able to help me make, you know, this dream come true.
Allison, in Stoughton, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I am really excited to hear that you are doing this. I agree with a lot of the things that you're saying, that I think I've seen one female mechanic in my life. So it's encouraging to hear that, because I think this is an industry that will survive even with manufacturing jobs leaving and so forth. That people always need their cars fixed.
Exactly.
I do have my own car. I had a college friend of mine that worked on his own car and taught me how to do a lot of things on my own. And since then, with having kids, I don't really have time. And I have a really good mechanic that I do rely on quite a bit. But I did repair my brakes in this car about 9 months ago, and the only problem I ran into was the computer, the onboard computer. Mm-hmm. Of course, once I was finished, it kept telling me that the entire system had failed and wouldn't even allow me to start the car.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering what options are there for getting around that? I actually ended up having to get a tow truck and get it hauled to my mechanic, who reset it cheaply and quickly, but it was a hassle. Especially since I ran into no trouble repairing the brakes, they're really pretty easy to do.
And I mentioned this in the book because it's one of the questions that I get a lot, especially from women. They kind of want to learn how to do things like oil changes and brakes, because it's about empowering them using tools, which I get, and some women already do that. And nowadays on these new cars, though, they're almost making it impossible to work on them yourselves because they require all types of equipment to reset these lights that tell you you need brakes or that you need an oil change. And sometimes it's difficult for us, the independent repair shops, to reset these lights because they want you to go back to the dealer to do it. You know, so I tell a lot of women, you may want to learn to be empowered, but it may not be helpful for you because it may cost you more money, it's going to cause you more time, and you still not may be able to reset your light, right? And to do these things, you'll need the proper equipment. And so if you're interested in doing some more repairs on your car besides the oil change and you don't know how to reset your light, I would talk to your mechanic first and say, is this something I can do before, you know, I start taking this stuff apart? Because nowadays it's everything from oil changes. People can't even do their own oil change anymore, really depending on their car and what the manufacturer requires to reset the maintenance lights. Yeah. So, mechanic, I think it's awesome that you're working on your car and getting your hands dirty. I love to hear this type of stuff. So keep it up.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot, Allison, for calling. Appreciate your call. Robert emailed to say, excuse me, that at shops in central Wisconsin, a repair charge is based on a common reference of the number of hours needed to complete a task. This means that the price is the same regardless of where you go. Is this a common practice throughout the country? Do you know?
So that there's a little misconception there. So, and I have a chapter in my book on how mechanics price repairs and reading your repair bill, because it's so confusing. It is even for me when I'm reading ours. Sometimes I'm like, what is this? And so, yes, you do make money off of labor, and there is a standard that every car manufacturer makes that tells you how long it's supposed to take to do a repair on a car, a specific repair. Now, it will change based on the shops because they have different labor rates, right? So dealerships tend to be more expensive because their labor rates are $125 to $200 an hour, whereas some of the independent shops are will be as low as $90 an hour to $110 or $125. And so that's one way we make money off. Another way that we do it is we make money off of parts. And so we buy parts wholesale, and then we charge you what the at-cost price would be. And so dealerships tend to be a little bit more expensive because they use original equipment manufacturing or OEM parts. So if you go to a dealership and get something replaced, it's going to be using, like a Toyota dealership, it'll be using a Toyota part. I'm an independent shop, so we use aftermarket parts. And you can get them for a lot cheaper, but guess what? It's a huge market where you can get parts from China, you can get parts from all over, and they may not be quality parts. And so they may cost, it's going to fluctuate. This is why bills are so confusing and repair invoices and estimates, because it's going to fluctuate based on how much time it takes, right? The level of the technician. If you get a really low price on a repair, it may be because the technicians aren't that experienced. And it also is based on the part. Is it a good quality part from a quality manufacturer? If you're getting something that's kind of cheaply made from China, it's going to break again, and it may not have a warranty. And that's why I recommend people not bringing their own parts in for repair unless they really know who's a good manufacturer and who makes good parts. Because we see it all the time where parts will fail before they're supposed to.
I think you have a story in your book about someone who had a repair done. It was $1,200. Where was it? You had $1,200. Was the cost, and then you thought it was covered under warranty, but the warranty was a couple thousand miles past.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same thing happened again.
Mm-hmm.
12 months later, but the warranty from the garage was only for 10 months, so it was another 1,200. That was an interesting part. Well, that was an interesting story. Part of it because of then what you talked about sort of afterwards in terms of kind of keeping up on regular servicing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think one of the things I learned from that experience was it's important to just talk to your customers about what's going on. And really what turned me off with that experience is I feel like they were just trying to sell a job that was expensive. It wasn't a repair that I really needed to have done. It wasn't a repair that was damaging the car, you know, by driving it that way. And I felt pressured to get it done because I thought I absolutely needed to have it. And then I get the repair and it didn't take, or maybe it did take and it was a bad part that they put in that caused it to break again, you know, 10 months later, but I'm out of warranty because I drove too many miles. I drove a lot, you know, and it's just bad experiences left and right with my car. And I don't know if there's anything I could have really done different except maybe take it to another place to say, yeah, Hey, you don't need to get this fixed right now. But that's why it's so important to have the PCT you trust. If you shop hop and go around, you're more likely to get taken advantage of, or you're not going to have someone that's a little bit more personal to you that says, hey, you don't need this right now. Save up some money. You know, and it turned me off. It gave me a really bad taste in my mouth with, mechanics, and it kind of led me on this journey because this was my first car I ever purchased on my own. So it led me on this journey of being an auto airhead and hating my experiences. You know, that was my defining moment. And ever since, I've just had horrible experiences and always felt taken advantage of. And I also didn't take care of my car, and I was ashamed that I didn't. And they shamed me, thinking it was my fault that this car, you know, they did. They made it seem like how I drove and how I take care of it was the reason it was having these problems, you know. And it's just a good lesson to learn.
Pam in Madison has something for us. Hi, Pam.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate the call.
Hi, I'm actually driving. I'm on a five-hour drive. I drive a lot. I have a home in Iowa and a home in Stoughton, Madison. And I was listening to your show. I'm actually an auto body person. I'm a fashion designer for a living, but I restore vintage cars and boats, and it's just a hobby that I have. I grew up in my dad's body shop. And so I've been doing it for years and totally can relate to your frustration with mechanics because I've had to move around in my life quite a bit. And I go to Nance at Dutch's Auto, and I've been going to her for years. And I just had to call in because I heard I was so happy a guy called in and said, this amazing woman in Madison, because I was kind of disappointed in a way because she's got like a waiting list. You know, I'm like, oh, no, don't tell people about her because she's so good. I have vintage cars. I have an old Jeep Wrangler. I have a lot of cars that she's done a lot of work on. And that auto body shop is me. In fact, I have a Dutch's Auto t-shirt in my car right now. Like, she's amazing. And so I just was so happy to hear that you're writing a book because I think there is this perception of I can't do it. And it's not that hard. I mean, there are a lot of newer cars are really difficult. But, so I just had to call in because I just wanted to say I'm really glad you're doing them.
Pam, thank you so much for calling.
I have no doubt in my mind that he's amazing and that they're doing well because women are amazing. We can do amazing things. That's why it's important. And I think it helps the automotive industry to actually include more women. It's going to make the industry stronger. It's going to make more women open to it, right? We're the number one customer. So we feel more comfortable. We're going to be spending more money. And so stuff like this only helps the industry to grow and to make their number one customer feel good and want to be a part of it. So I'm not surprised at all that she's successful. We need more women like that to say, hey, yes, we can be not just compete, but be really successful. This is what people need, and this is what they're looking for.
Pam, thank you so much for calling. You know, as I was looking through your book, I got to the part on tires, and I thought of one of the best gifts I ever got for being in a wedding. I was in Al and Julie Johnson's wedding about 20-some years ago, and the gift that they gave to me was an air pressure gauge for a tire, you know, that you could just, one of those gauges that you could stick in your glove box and have it, and I've used that for 20-some years.
Wow, it's still working after 20 years.
it works great.
Good.
But that just brings me to one of the chapters, just has to do with tires. Talk about the guts of your book.
Mm-hmm. So the tire, a lot of the book is just talking about breaking down each system of a car and that all the repairs that are needed, how much they cost, all the maintenance that's needed for each system. And tires are, of course, a really important one, tires and brakes, because they're the safety. They're what helps us stop our car and navigate our car and prevent car crashes. And we often ignore those two the most, right, our brakes and our tires. You hear your brakes when you need to have them replaced, and often we kind of pray it's the car next to us that's squeaking, you know, and our tires are really bald. I've got horrible stories of me driving around on bald tires. And so, you know, I teach about the basics of just how to take care of these things. Tires are very expensive. They can last 50,000-60,000 miles if you're putting in the proper air pressure, if you're rotating them when they need to be rotated. And so it's learning how to take care of your tires and how to check on them, how to put air in them. I often ignore that little tire pressure warning light. That's my auto airhead, you know, habit that dies hard. But if you do see that, putting the proper air, if you don't have the proper air in your tires, you're more likely to get a blowout. You're more likely to wear them quicker, you know, and you're more likely to pick up things that's causing a slow leak, whether you don't have enough air or you have too much air. I'm seeing that a lot now in tires, too, where they have too much air in. So your optimum air pressure is 33 PSI. It's not what's on the side of the tire. So it's making sure that you know that, right? And it's making sure you know when to get your brakes changed, what happens when you need your brakes done. You know, this is what's going to keep you the most safe on the road.
And you've got brake fluids. You've got what goes in the glove box?
Everything under your hood. You don't need to be intimidated. We even teach you how to pop your hood, what you can touch, what you can't touch. We teach you how an engine works, but it's very simple and easy. Nothing like over your head. It's going to tell you what your engine needs, why it needs it, you know, and just breaking down in very simple, easy ways. To even where I sell the book and to Girl Scouts, that are 10 years old, not because they're drivers, because they want to learn about cars. And these pictures help them understand some of these core engineering principles that aren't very hard to understand, but that kind of make an engine work or a transmission work, and it's relatable and they can see it. So it's good to have them thinking this way, and it is going to give you the knowledge to then go into your mechanic, because this is what happens after people read the book or they come to a workshop. They can't wait to take their car in so they can test this knowledge, right, and say, hey, well, you're saying I need this. Well, why don't you show me? Why don't they go in the book and they'll look up the chapter to see what it says, and they'll say, you know what, yes, I am making the right choice with my car. I feel good about this decision. I do think it costs this much, and I'm going to pay you to do it.
Well, I tell you what, we'll take another...
That's a great feeling, right? That's a great feeling to have.
Tell you, a good feeling for me was near the front of your book, you have a pop quiz, test your auto care IQ, and I got 100% on it. So I felt really good about that.
I wanted to name that chapter, what is truth about cars and what men think they know, because I get so many women say, my husband said this and my father said this. So I'm so glad you got a 100%. You're not one of those guys giving out poor information to women about their cars.
Let's go to Jan in Viroqua. Hi, Jan.
Hi. I've had three great cars, all of which I got from people I knew personally who had used them and no longer wanted them. And now I'm in the position of having to buy a car on the public market, which is something I've never done. And I've identified a car that I think would be good for me, which is a Honda CR-V. But do you have any words of wisdom as to how, when you're looking at car listing, how do you know that you're getting what you're paying for?
And it's a used car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a used car?
Yeah.
Will be a used car, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a great question. There's several factors. There's a whole chapter in my book about this. The first thing is really understanding your driving habits. Are you someone who beats up a car, or do you take care of a car well? Do you save money for car repairs? This kind of stuff is going to factor in what type of car you can get. So a Honda CR-V is a great car. They're ones that you can tend to beat up, and they last really long. And so my next thing would be looking at receipts, right? Show me the receipts. Who owned this car before, and did they take care of it? That's a big factor. Buying a car and not knowing how it was taken care of can really come back to bite you. So it's very important that you go in, you look for the receipts, and you test drive it, and you check certain things to see if the car was neglected or not. And so there's a list of all of those that you want to check in the book. So even things from fluids and sounds that it makes, the tires, the batteries, there's things that you want to make sure are changed with a used car. I see so many people buy a used car, the battery's old, the tires are old, the brakes need to replace, the oil hasn't been changed. These are just minimum things that should be required if someone's selling a car. And keeping those things in mind and how to check if something's bad or good. Or if you have a PCT, your primary care technician, pay them $35 and they'll check the car out for you, which is going to give you great peace of mind to say, yes, this is a good car for a good price.
I think it's great advice.
Yeah.
And Patrice, it has been wonderful talking with you today. I really appreciate you taking the time, and your Girls Auto Clinic glove box guide will be going in my glove box.
Awesome. Thank you. I had so much fun.
It was a lot of fun. Patrice Banks is the founder of Girls Auto Clinic. That's her business. She runs an auto repair shop, and you can get your nails done at the same time when you go to the shop to get the oil changed or whatever else it needs to have done. Oh, man. And the book, Girls Auto Clinic Glove Box Guide. Maintain your ride. Think like a mechanic. Get down and dirty under the hood. Patrice Banks, our guest. Well, coming up, we are going to change gears and talk about finding a financial advisor. Frank Armstrong joins us next here on the Ideas Network.